This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to the Accreditor Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and Clips did something special with Let God Sort Him Out. Pharrell is back, so is Malice, and it has given me renewed optimism in all that is good and pure in the world.
I'm Ricardo, and I'm just surprised that we still got the show going. It's amazing. We so good at this.
I'm John March, and I'm a child.
I appreciate you going there. I appreciate you going full there.
All right. So, Carter, do your job. Before you do your job, I just want to set up where we're going with the show. Can you stop playing with this balloon?
Sorry, it's too much. I like the fidget.
This is the problem we always had when we was doing podcasts. We literally cannot leave trinkets or anything around because you would just get distracted.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we have a few directions we could go when we talk about the show. We can start talking about the most active time period for Bahamians at MLB All-Star Weekend in history. So we can go that route with Jazz Chisholm and Sebastian Wolcott, or we can solve the murder of Sahari Oaks.
I go with both.
Which direction do y'all want
to
take?
I think we should let the audience decide.
Atlanta's a lit city.
What?
Atlanta. He wants to go the Jazz route, but do you think we...
If you want to join the conversation today and help us...
Wait, you want your
balloon back? No, leave that. Right. If you want to help us solve Sahari Oaks murder, you can reach out to us at 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259, toll free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also active. You can hit us up at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Text line powered by BTC.
Do we have to say alleged murder? I mean, it's factual that he was
murdered. Yeah, factually, his murder is just not clear on how the murder was executed and who was.
In our pre-production show meeting, I just realized that Carter and John had a wealth of knowledge about this that I did not know. And my question is, how has no one turned it into a major screenplay?
Because it's Sahari Oaks. Like, it's the whole mob aspect behind it.
Alleged.
It's not alleged. I think we keep forgetting how prominent the mob was in, like, pre-independence Bahamas.
Allegedly.
It's not alleged. We all know.
I have to say it as a disclaimer.
The mob helped us build, like, so much parts in Nassau and Freeport. Like, I don't...
Allegedly.
Not allegedly. Like, it's fact. It's in books. It's written.
It's like the Bahamians in Miami and the Cubans in Miami.
Yes, this is the reason...
Those are facts.
The reason Bahamians and Cubans was in Miami in large part due to the mob. The mob is really prolific here. But.
You know where Bahamians are going to be this weekend?
Go ahead.
In Atlanta at MLB All-Star Weekend. So there's a lot going on. Of course, you have Jazz Chisholm selected to his second All-Star game. A huge achievement in itself. Every time he steps on the field, it's Bahamian history once again. I feel like it's this whole entire generation of baseball players we're going to be able to say that about. You have Sebastian Wolcott, his second appearance in the MLB Futures game, which is like... If you're more familiar with basketball, it's like the rookie balls is baseball is more prestigious because that one has been out a bit longer.
Yeah, and it's very, very difficult to make one, let alone make two in a row.
And then the third thing for All-Star Weekend, going back to Jazz, becoming the first Bahamian to participate in the Home Run Derby at MLB All-Star Weekend. So even if you're not tapped into the game, I feel like people with just a passing knowledge of baseball know about the Home Run Derby. You've had some experience with that before, whether you've watched it, whether you've known who's won it. It's a pretty big deal. So this weekend, whether you're a baseball fan or not, a whole lot of reasons to be tuned in to MLB All-Star Weekend, and it starts tonight with the Futures game at 8 p.m.
Yeah, no, this is like Buddy Hield in a three-point competition. Remember how hype everyone got when they just knew Buddy was in the competition? This is the same equivalent of Jazz being in there. And as I said last night, if you watch the news segment, Jazz going to win.
I have my own issues with the Home Run Derby. I want him to win, but
What are your issues with the Home Run Derby?
Every time Pete Alonso won the Home Run Derby, it literally caused his production in the back half of the season to fall off. It's awful for any team that wants their player to participate and compete to win. It just throws off their swing.
Do you think this is somewhat of a myth, like the Madden cover jinx?
No. I've been through it too many times. Even the 2 years that he lost, when he came back, it took him like almost the back half 2 months to get it together. Luckily, in those two seasons, we didn't make a playoff run. But last year, we made a playoff run, and he just was not there the first two rounds.
But he came up clutch when he had to in the playoffs.
He came up. Eventually, he came back, and he was there.
That's all that matters. Like, who cares? If you're in the playoffs and you're hitting a home run to win the game.
No, we ended up in a worse position. We had a couple of series with the Braves still in the back half of last season that we did not compete in. Because Pete Alonso just wasn't there. Because
one person wasn't there. No, the whole team lost.
We needed those home runs. Gave
Francisco Lindor eight.
Well, the good news for the Yankees is Jazz has had cold streaks. So it would be nothing new if Jazz just comes out with a cold streak.
I mean, look.
After he wins it.
Pete Alonso also, before he re-upped with the big deal, was also making.
It wasn't a big deal.
Well, he was making more money from the home run derby than he was from his regular contract. So
I hate that
y'all
that's
can say what y'all want about the back half of the season, but he was getting a lot of money from the home run derby. So, yeah, that's another thing if you don't know. Winning the home run derby, you ain't just winning it. Like, there's a considerable amount of cash that comes along with it. But this field is a very stacked field. It's a lot of young baseball players. And to me, it's indicative of, I think, where the game is moving. And you got eight, you got like, six minorities in this, seven. So baseball obviously trending in the direction where they're trying to attract a younger audience. But I want to start with the futures game first because there's going to be a lot to talk about with Jazz. Sebastian Walcott is on the way, but still in terms of minor league baseball, I don't think the Bahamian public is in tune with it because it's difficult from the point when they sign at 16 and 17, there's a long trek they got to go through before they get to the major leagues. It's not like you see VJ get drafted, you know you're going to see him on TV in October. Mm-hmm. If it's football, you see someone get drafted, you know you're going to see them in a couple months. But baseball players kind of get lost in the shuffle of the minors, but this is one who is at the forefront of minor league baseball. Like the MLB is making the push for him. And he's doing it himself. Let me not just say that MLB is doing it, but his production is actually getting it done.
His production is causing the MLB to take drastic measures. Now.
And they're telling you this is one of them ones. So I want to start there with him and where we see the projection of his career going and how soon before we see him in the majors.
But just going back, how you say how difficult they get lost in the shuffle. So with baseball, signing day, when they sign their team, everyone loves them. Everyone knows what they're doing. Then you have they think they know. Then you have the minor league gap. And then if you make the majors, like when Jazz made the majors, everyone comes back on board like, yeah, I believe from day one. Like, cool. What's Sebastian going to do? He's going to win MVP of the Futures game.
So I saw there was
two home runs.
Okay.
I don't doubt John's predictions anymore.
Yeah, like you just gotta take it and it's, you know
what did VJ drop in his summer league opener?
It's 28.
Okay, he could have had 50.
just slight.
But he had a dunk. He had a vicious dunk. I remember I tell you.
Yeah.
That vicious dunk caused that thumb contusion that had him out like 2 to 3 games.
I wasn't predicting that, but
dunk slightly less viciously.
Yeah.
So I saw a post that the MLB made about the Futures game in 2015, and if you see the alumni that was in that game, you kind of know where this is headed. Literally, it was pretty much 80% of the all-star roster. Right. So being in this game is a big deal. And if you see, just based on the trajectory of where they started, obviously he's starting at the highest point of any Bahamian baseball player we've ever had. We've never had one get to where he's gotten so quickly. The youngest player in AA baseball. Like that.
He made spring training at.
Think about that.
At 18.
A teenager playing AA baseball would have just been getting out of high school, would have been a college freshman, but is pretty much, I mean, one call up away from the majors.
One ankle.
One wants to say someone has I just. To get,
no, John has been saying that consistently. We did a show a couple of weeks back, and John's like, one injury, bro.
Well, you literally one injury away. Like, but that's just the nature of the sport. Like, because I feel he'll be called up next year because he's the type of player when he gets called up, he's staying. Right. Just like when Jazz was called up, he's saying, you don't want to get in a situation where you call him up and then you have to bring him back down because someone comes up. Because I don't know, if I don't think the confidence thing would be an issue, but a player like him, once he gets to the show, that's where he belongs and that's where he's staying. You're not going to be doing that back and forth movement with him.
Right. Well, the Rangers are so big on him. I think it would take something drastic for them to even do the back and forth. They look at him as the future of the franchise, yeah. Like one of the cornerstones of the franchise. So I remember when they first called him up into spring training, and I think he had like one or two errors, and their GM was like, it doesn't matter. Like, we legitimately don't care. We're not going to overreact to this because we know.
Just turned 18?
Yeah, we know what the ceiling is. So when he goes up, the thing about baseball and the call-ups is you got to be good, but then you also have to be lucky. Mm-hmm. Luck plays such a big part in this because you mentioned Jazz. It wasn't one ankle. It was like 16, 17 people have to go COVID. On the reserve list because of COVID. And then once he got there, he performed so well that it didn't make a difference what happened. Segue into Jazz and segueing into the Home Run Derby. So if you're not able to watch the Home Run Derby at home,
why would you be?
For various reasons, I don't know. Maybe
you know, only that thing on is the Tour de France, and that over in the next like 40 minutes.
Well,
or
if
so.
You're choosing between, no disrespect to the cycling community.
Well, Wimbledon's on right now, so
what is on?
Wimbledon.
My boy, and that TFO, big foe.
He lost in the first round.
Yeah. I only know one tennis player,
big foe,
and John Todd.
The world only knows.
The Clips also mentioned him, and I was like, ha, I know that one. Anyway, so thank you, John. So the Bahamas Baseball Association will be hosting a watch party, so you can go to the Andre Rogers Stadium and watch the Home Run Derby live on the Jumbotron, $4 for adults, $2 for kids. Starts at 8 p.m. So as a community, and I think this is really cool because as a community, we get to gather around this effort and support him as one. So, Andre Rogers Stadium, do not miss it. Monday at 8 p.m., watch Jazz Chisholm live in the Home Run Derby. And he will have his coach throwing to him. This is not just history for Jazz at the plate. It's also history because you have a Bahamian coach throwing to him. You got Jerron Sands of the International Elite Sports Academy who has a special relationship with Jazz that dates back to when he was 10, 11 years old playing Little League. That relationship of it was back then, or maybe even stronger because now he's going to be on the biggest stage. So no pressure, Jerron, but you know, it's completely up to you whether this goes left or not.
I want to circle back on one point about Sebastian. Like, I know we often talk about how much the minor leagues is inside of baseball. I feel like a player, his talent should have pushed the league to make these things more televised. We had a point now, if you watch like Premier League soccer, every portion of those teams are covered with some internet or social media or television program. I don't understand how every minor league team don't have a closed circuit feed or something for games and stuff.
Baseball has, if I'm not mistaken, baseball has the MLB plan that you could buy, which includes all the minor league games as well.
Say that again?
Major League Baseball has a plan that you could buy. So you could buy the MLB plan for the year, and I believe that includes all the minor league games. Also, Amazon Prime, because we know every Bahamian pretty much has Amazon Prime, has the minor league games
select
on it.
Minor league games.
Select. It's better than zero. But if you go to the social media accounts of these teams, they are very, very active in, you know, showing the players. You could go to the social media account and watch what they post, and then you could pretty much get the gist of what happened in the game.
Yeah, but I feel like we are at a point now with the amount of money MLB is pulling in. Like, I feel like if you subscribe to, like, I'm a Mets fan. We went through this whole process where you would get one of our either AA or AAA games every day. And it was available. I feel like every MLB team should have that. You shouldn't have to subscribe or whatever. You making enough money to cover that, but put these dudes on the spot like that's how you grow your future stars.
But it's a tough follow, though. Like, I get the point that you're making, but it is a tough follow.
You know, production expensive to pay for.
Not just that, but think about how many teams and how many levels you have to pay attention to.
They already paid for it. They have the video teams. They're creating this content to put out not only on social media, but inside their organization. Just broadcast it.
Okay.
I feel like it's a whole situation where they just want to like preserve it to keep that small baseball town feel, preserve it for the little communities that these teams are based in.
To be honest, baseball is a regional sport. It's not as national as the NFL. It's not as national as the NBA.
And this is why.
It's become more regional. Not just that, though. It's also because it's a tougher act to follow. Think about, you only have to follow the NFL, and if you follow college football, but you don't even follow the lower tiered versions of college football. You follow the top parts of NCAA Division 1.
What's on ESPN? What's on Fox? What's on CBS?
Same thing with college basketball. You follow top-tier NCAA Division 1. It's a completely different system. Are you going to follow AAA? Are you going to follow AA? Are you going to follow single A?
I feel like
baseball in the complex league. Then there's the Dominican Summer League.
It doesn't have to be national like television scheduled. I feel like if you create a system where, like for individual teams, like they have their farm system and they have programs based around that to get it more than just the local community. Like I keep telling people, as a Mets fan, it used to be a time where I could have watched the Syracuse team play. Like, every couple of days, you would see a Syracuse game on, and you could go through and understand your farm system better, understand the arms you have down there, the rotation plays that you could eventually get up. So when you saw these trades with like three or four names mentioned, you know exactly what that meant for your team. At this point in time, you just don't have that anymore.
You know what it is, too, though? It's also limited bandwidth. Because it's a lot of guys that are not going to make it, right? So people have a tough enough time paying attention to the ones on their major roster and knowing a lot from them.
Yeah,
I just don't know what the market value is going to be with watching. I mean, like, people like us would pay attention to it.
You have a whole city. Have a whole city that's going to get a phenom in Sebastian in a couple of months, maybe over the course of the next year. You don't think they want to know what dude been doing this whole time? Like, they know he in the farm system.
They know what he's doing. But anyway, I was just looking up. It's like $100 a year for the MLB app to watch all the MLB games and everything. So as you're saying, it should be free. If you really want to be into it and watch every baseball game, whatever, $100 ain't nothing.
Fair point.
Like, you just get the subscription. Then you can watch all the minor league games. Because I did that. Well, T-Mobile usually has a plan, and I forgot to do it this year. I put the thing for free with the T-Mobile Life when the season starts, and then you get to watch everything, and that's how I was able to watch a lot of the minor league players. But it is a lot of energy to put into watching a lot of baseball.
You know what you would have been able to follow if you had that plan? So on Independence Day, it was a huge sports sign for Independence.
Fireworks in Texas.
There was fireworks in Texas it's fitting that Carter kind of gave us a segue that's talking about focusing on the minors, because you had Sabas in a game going against another top prospect in Christian Robinson of the Diamondbacks. And I think this was so huge for two young Bahamian baseball players to share a field and to have this moment on Independence Day. Sebastian Walcott hits a home run in the sixth inning, his ninth of the season. And then Christian Robinson hits the walk-off in the 11th inning. And for two of the biggest plays in a game like that to happen and Bahamians get to share that feel on that day is so indicative of where you see baseball trending right now and what it can become.
Now, what you were saying with subscribing to XYZ, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to bring up your favorite people, government, because they're your favorite people. I don't know how, even with the Baseball Association, I don't know what relationships they have. How could we not then say, hey, these are games we want to try to broadcast? Free the airwaves or something to that extent.
You pay for the subscription. You pay with the licensing fee necessary to make it happen. But we don't have
any
other content.
But I know MLB might have a plan saying we want to get into these countries, and they might be able to say we can give you X amount of games a year. Like I say, a fee of X amount, but minor leagues, if you have certain minor league games, that would be included in whatever. Yeah. And that's how people will get into the game. Like I remember with the Bahamas Bowl, RIP Bahamas Bowl right now, I would always say, I don't know why we never got a Mac Game of the Week or a CUSA and put it on ZNS where it's free over the air, because that's how people get in tuned with stuff. People would be more in tune to coming to the game, because if they've seen them play before, then they'll say, oh, I've seen this team play. I want to go watch them.
All right. And I was going to make a criticism, and this is why we need more people like Naldo in sports and media. Because he talked about what happened on Independence Day and the follow-up with Jaws with the cleats and all of that. All of that was like the perfect storm for persons to understand how big this weekend now becomes. Because you get to see not only everything that's been building up over the last season kind of, you know, come together at this moment in time for all these guys to be in Atlanta at the same time.
We going to do predictions? So, I already know what John's prediction
50.
Is.
He gave 50.
You thought I was bad.
This man
said 50.
So here's the thing, though, but Carl doesn't want to sacrifice the second half. I mean, I know you're a Mets fan and not a Yankees fan.
Yankees do is what the Yankees do, but that's on them.
Yes, but it's also Jazz personally. It's not, we're going to talk about what matters more, the person in the jersey or the laundry itself. But You don't want to see Jazz have a bad second.
No, Pardo is the type of person to say Jazz could go 4-for-4 every game, but if the Yankees lose, he happy.
That's exactly where I start. So
don't
if he go
fifth, lose if he goes 4-for-4 every game.
It depends on dive. It depends.
Four singles. Lead off.
Nah, but if he... I want him to win. I definitely want him to win. And if it impacts the back half of their season, particularly down the stretch, if you meet them in the World Series, I'm good with that as well.
But it has they're in a whole other league. It has no bearing on what y'all do.
You keep saying that, but we were so close to us playing them in the World Series last year. Shout out to the Dodgers messing up everybody.
It takes so much to get before you get to that point.
It doesn't.
You got to jump like three hurdles before that's even a possibility.
It's between us, the Dodgers, them, and the Blue Jays.
You heard how much things you said just now.
They're the four teams. They the four teams that we coming on to. I don't really
put
much.
It was 24 games.
Tampa
but
Bay
know.
Would like to have a word.
Anybody at the Tampa Bay.
You see how they're trying to move their playoff games to make the playoffs from their stadium?
I don't understand why they in that state. This is anyway.
I'm telling you, it's gonna happen.
Anyway, Blue Jays, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers. Those are the teams. The Phillies might have something to say. They're having a little horrible streak right now, but we'll see.
Baseball has a way of baseballing.
Jazz hitting 50.
I am also.
I'm not. I don't think he gets 50 tonight.
50 total.
Okay, 50 total. I think he makes the finals, and I think that last go around, I'll say 32.
See, 32. I think the biggest, and I was talking to John about this, I think the biggest threat to him is going to be Cal Raleigh because he is having an incredible season. He's having the best offensive season we've ever seen from a catcher. But I will say this, because this is kind of tailor-made for someone like Jazz who has an easy swing, and when he gets
elasticity,
when he gets in rhythm,
core.
core strength, as John shows us exactly what Jazz's swing looked like. But I mean, bigger guys do, other than Pete Alonso, bigger guys do tend to get tired, and you have a lot of swings in this derby. You have a lot of swings. That was one of the things that people used to have a problem with. The Blue Jays, I remember them not wanting Vlad Guerrero to do it so much because he puts so much torque into his swing.
That's why I say the derby always comes down to mechanics. John might call it elasticity, but it is mechanics.
But have you ever seen Jazz in BP?
Yeah.
Like, he crushes the ball. Jazz is a small guy. Jazz is, what, 5'10"? 175
pounds.
And he it's just his motion. It's just perfect for the home run.
It makes
run
no
derby.
Sense that he generates the power that he does.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Elasticity.
There's nobody else his size that does this.
Right, because if you look, he has really good mechanics on his swing. Whoever helped him produce that swing, he keeps all of the tension off his knees and keeps it on his hips. Pause. This is a very difficult conversation now. But no, that's it. Fight. That's what the problem with Vlad Jr. has right now. It puts so much pressure on those knees. That when you come to the back half of the season, that's where the problem is. You got to keep the big dudes off their feet. Pause.
So, Cal Raleigh, I thought Ronald Acuna Jr. was
going
to be
I thought that was
going to
be the threat.
So, when he backed out at the last second, I was like, whew. Okay, everything was going his direction. You know, he just came back, had the hometown energy. I was like, maybe a problem.
Yeah, he getting dreaded. That's why.
Really?
He can get traded.
This insider stuff?
No, this ain't insider stuff. I feel like
we're really bad at insider stuff, though, with breaking news.
I mean, we just know it. We just don't break it.
I feel like it's time. But this is getting deep into baseball conversation that we didn't intend to.
That's fine.
But I feel like he's done with Atlanta mentally. He realized like the team has gone as far as they could go. You got to chip out of it. We good.
So you're saying after you tear two ACLs with one franchise, you're like, I got to go to a new field.
Shout out Tom Glavine. He showed us that that's what the Braves is doing.
That's a good rule. O'Neill Cruz, dark horse threat in this race?
No.
Sean, shut it down quick.
No dark horse. Jazz can win.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Junior Caminero also having an incredible rule. But
only one junior is going to win. Jazz Chisholm Jr.
You know what? That's a perfect way. We're gonna take that one and ride into the break. When we come out of halftime, I want to talk about fandom. There's a lot we can go into. We're experiencing the golden era with a lot of the goats of Bahamian sports, and we got to be able to admit it.
BIS is basketball.
Sure.
Just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. Nobody business then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Fish media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. John is doing some technical work. I couldn't hear anything in the earphones. He plugged it in somewhere. I'm going to go without earphones. I'm Ronaldo, and as I said in the intro, I feel like the Clips did God's work with the latest album, and I feel like everyone should go in there and listen to it. I haven't felt this way about an album in a very long time.
That's wild. I'm Ricardo. What was your favorite song on the album?
Ooh, I like POV. Mm-hmm. Tyler, the Creator, probably had the best verse on that.
Okay, we all on the same page.
But the intro is amazing in itself.
I just like to see, you know, people growing in their music. I really want that for everyone.
I want it for everyone, but some people are just not going to grow in their music. Some people are just not going to evolve. John, you got to do your intro.
I'm John March, and we're missing some purple up in here.
Purple?
John March. I like when we make inside jokes that nobody understands but us, and it's amazing.
People know now. People know now. The article made its rounds. People know now.
Okay, so let's dive into the John March thing where we're going to start. So you heard us talk about the story on many episodes on podcast. John and the role he played early in VJ Edgecombe's career, persuading Buddy to put VJ into his Elite 24 camp. And Buddy did an interview with Mark Spears of Anscape, which is a subsidiary of ESPN. So basically, Mark Spears works for ESPN. So in the article, Buddy told the story. And he said, you know, they described John as a trusted colleague. And Buddy told Mark Spears the story. He initially told John that, no, the kid was too young. I didn't think he had a spot in the camp. But he thought about it. And then he eventually allowed him to be in the camp, and the rest is history. But that was Buddy crediting John in the story. We are saying John March because Mark Spears got John's name wrong.
Shout out to Buddy's accent. I'm pretty sure I'm going to put the blame there.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know who we're going to blame.
A dude named John March.
It's possible.
I don't know who we're going to blame. And I was like, was it that Mark Spears just didn't understand Buddy? Which is probably
it's probably right? The case, yeah.
So Most likely that's the case.
So we talked about evolution of music, and I want to talk about evolution of fandom in the second half. So I think we have to realize, and a lot of people probably don't want to hear it or probably don't want to admit it, right? But era of Bohemian sports right now, we have the greatest of all time across the board in several sports when you look at it.
Tom Brady retire.
And they're all no, in Bohemian sports. Why would we be?
I just need people to know. I need them to know.
So in one era, you have Shawnee, right? Arguably greatest Bohemian track and field athlete
ever. Boy.
In that same era.
Stevie.
And I'm going to move on from track and field. In that same era, you have Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest Bohemian baseball player that's ever been. Okay. In that same era, you have Buddy and D.A.
Well, you go across these people lose their mind on this phone today.
It's arguably. Yes, you can make the argument for Michael Thompson. But I'm saying you have both Buddy and D.A.
We're talking about this time frame. Golden age of Bohemian sports. You have
Buddy and D.A. at the same time. I think the only thing is probably comparable to is the early 70s because you had Michael Thompson and Elijah Obed at the same time.
Right.
But I think right now across the board, for whatever reasons there may be, it's tough to argue against any era being as loaded with talent as this one. And we talked about Sabas earlier and he ain't even reached yet.
Yeah.
Like we have so much other people. VJ just got there
and he's going to be the best of them all.
So there is a lot in this. So we're going to be able to look at back at this time period in history, maybe 20, 30 years from now. Greatest time period in Bohemian sports. Do we have to wait that long to even say it though? Because I feel like we could clock it right now.
No, I don't think we have to wait. I think, and this can take me back to a conversation y'all two was having on the pod y'all did this week. I was actually supposed to text us in the group. I think the part we overlook is the importance that not Buddy, this current incarnation of him, the present space he's at in his career. I think we overlook the moment of Buddy at Oklahoma when they had the Battle for Atlantis tournament here. I think the spotlight that was put on him in that moment and the way he showed up, that impacted so many people across the board.
When he shook Perry Christie's hand.
Because what it did, it made people realize, like, bro, I could go off and have success and I could come back home and bring that here. And it showed a lot of kids, like, bro, dude doing it in college, he likely shooting up the lottery, which he did. He was later picked in it. And a lot of people was like, that could be me. That opened the floodgates for everything we now see. And I think you brought up Magnum Roll on the pod, and you was like, you put it back there. I give credit to Magnum, but I don't think his inclusion, his ascent to the NBA, and at that time the G League, kind of opened the doors that Buddy's moved in.
No, I was just referencing him being that important to right. Buddy.
Okay.
So he was the first one that Buddy would have been able to see do it, especially.
Definitely. I feel like the importance of Magnum is Magnum showed that you didn't have to go away, garnered, and get the attention and be able
you
to.
You do. You just didn't have to do it as early.
Yeah.
So he still did.
You still have to go
it.
Away, but yeah. You could still, if you were that talented, you could make it pretty far. But like you said, yeah, you still had to go to prep school. You still had to do that 1 year and then go to a big college.
See, the reason I kind of, I don't want to say discredit, but there's not a better word to use there. The reason I kind of discredit his story a bit, not to say there's
Larry
not,
Bird?
No, not Larry Bird. Magnum. No,
he didn't reach the top. So it's
not just that. The NBA has this thing when it comes to like big centers, dudes that can move, they would give you a shot. That's why I respect like Buddy's journey a lot more because this was around the time when shooting became a big deal. Buddy came up, he had to develop. We saw his game make changes where he went from just, hey, I could get to the basket, I could slash, I could use lead speed, to now I could refine my game, become one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA in this three-point shooting heavy time. Like, he did that. We saw him make those changes. And I think that's where his story is a bit more important than Magnum because that we watch him grow into the player he now is.
And just with Magnum, clarity, if I may be wrong, but I don't think I am, he was on the 15-man roster. He was just never on an active roster for a team. I think with the Atlanta Hawks, he was on the, just before the playoffs, he was on it, and he was on the playoff roster. It was almost like with Kai Jones last year, except he just wasn't active in any games.
So, greatest era of Bohemian.
I'd have to agree. And I think my opposition to it is only that for a lot of people who, like, I always had a glory days about what baseball used to be for a lot of dudes on the island. And then I hear the glory days of what track and field used to be like in the early 2000s. But I tell people, there's never been a balance across the board in all sports where we just see talent after talent after talent. And this isn't like people who's gone off and then you find out years later they became it. These people you saw right here every single day get to that point. Like, people always just criticize DeAndre. DeAndre, for a time, used to be literally a Jeff Rogers. Like, he was there in the summer with kids. Like, this is everyday talent. Just, we watch these people grow up. So, yeah.
I feel, like, looking back at it, I mean, we've been spoiled growing up, us in general, with the greatest Lakers shooter of all time, Rick Fox, playing.
Factual. You know? I need y'all to just keep that respect going.
I feel...
Sasha Bujicic was a better shooter.
I feel from 1999, right? And that's when, like... media started becoming more readily available to everyone. When we won that gold medal in the 4x100 in Spain at the World Championships, I feel like that's the moment where Bahamas sports springboarded into what it is today. Not saying that that talent isn't great talent. I know the talent just getting better and better, and we're recognizing it more. But I feel like that was a springboard to like saying, oh, we could actually do something in this field at the time, but then it just branched out completely.
What do we think is the biggest challenge to this generation? Because, so I'll start with baseball where Carter started. Because, yeah, you had Andre Rogers, you had Wente Ford, you had that group in that time period in the 50s and 60s where you had the six Bahamians make it through. Andre Rogers was the only one who really had a sustainable career for 11 years, but Jazz has already surpassed a lot of his numbers. And there's gonna be more.
When you think about it,
there's like gonna that. Be more in the majors very soon. But what generation or what time period even challenges this one to come close? Is it the 90s?
I see, and this is why I don't want us to get into the conversation like trying to compare generations, because
that is what sports talk radio is all about.
No, fair, I get that.
That is the whole Jordan LeBron argument. Hold on. That is Montana Marino.
But I don't think we're at that space yet. I think this is more of a Larry Bird.
I'm trying to take us though.
No, I got it. Just let me make the point. Let me stick the point. I think it's more of a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson situation where we have to understand the foundational pillars that allowed for this to exist. John said about it just now, 99, the gold medal in Spain. That gave way to what happened in Sydney. That gave way what happened a few years later in Athens. That gave way to what Sean A did. All of these things had to be the building blocks.
No, for clarification, this is in no way disputing and disregarding what anyone else has done. Right. Everyone's story is very important in looking at it from the very beginning when we started wearing aquamarine black and gold to now. Everyone's contribution is important. But I don't think... My biggest thing is I think we don't appreciate history and things for what they are in the moment sometimes. Right. And I just don't think we have to wait down the line to say this is pretty much the greatest generation of athletes we've ever produced.
No, like, I have to agree with you. The only point I'm making is this. It's hard to compare photographs to actual full-on film. Right now we have so much going on that we could see everything. When we look back at all those, it's not another generation, because all of those generations were just quick photos that we saw the greatness of all of it.
But you can compare accolades. Like, you could compare, the Olympics was the Olympics for a very long time.
Right.
The NBA was the NBA for a very long time.
So, okay, case in point.
So was the MLB.
Case in point. The closest thing you could get to a generation would probably be the early 2000s that John spoke about.
Right.
Because in quick succession, we had, of course, everything the Golden Girls did. We had Tonique, and then we had Rick Fox.
But even, take it back.
Shout out to Tonique.
But even what I said from... St. John's legend. But go, take it back. So the 90s, because if you start from Frank Rutherford, every Olympics following that until the last one... Every Olympics after that, we medaled.
Right, but it's not been like one collective period. It's not been where you can look back and say, hey, you remember that five-year stretch when we had this? It's what happening right now and what happened during in the early 2000s.
So I remember the Frank thing because he went to every single school in the Bahamas, right, after he won the medal.
That's what we need to bring back. I need more parades
and in the schools.
Well, we're going to have one next year when 18 comes.
Assemblies.
So. I remember people... Anyway,
is a special assembly still a thing?
I don't know.
Apparently not. But I remember when the Golden Girls won.
How would we know?
Yeah. When they won the gold medal, there was an actual parade. Like,
there was a parade, and they went to a bunch of schools.
They told us that you have to line. It was Wolf Road going into East Street. People actually used to line the roadsides to watch parade. We don't do that no more.
They did it after the Lakers won in 2010.
You so... We need that to come back. We need that to come back.
When 18 comes.
It was so ridiculous.
But,
why was it ridiculous, bro? What do you mean, why?
But I was important, boy.
But I feel, okay, so we'll go back to 1992. 1992, it was, if you hear the stories of how hard it was for Frank to get a uniform to jump in.
Oh, yeah.
It is ridiculous because
don't make him go. Boy,
that was a time and age of there was like no me. Was Brent at the Olympics?
He was the only one.
So Brent was the only one at the Olympics, right?
God, I'm laughing.
No, I laugh.
He's a big part of the story.
Yeah.
Like Frank always tells me the story. He was like, I made that big jump and then I looked to the side and there was only one member of the Bahamian media and it was Brent. And the funniest part of it is he said a tear started to stream down his face. Because you have to realize how unbelievable that was. The Bahamas is about to do anything.
And that was way before social media. So if that would have happened.
I know why you cried, though.
Boy. I mean, that's a big
one.
I tell you one thing. If we had made Paris with that basketball team, I was going to cry, too.
That's why I made the
point. You was going to do something else.
I was going to party.
It's easy to say it now because we could see the full-on movie production.
Right.
Back then, it was only the photos. You had, like you said, it was only Brent there. Nowadays, you have 10YS, you have ZNS, you have RNews, you have all these people that could be present, and even if they're in there, I could cut my TV on and see it. I could go back and live instant that
now.
Moment.
It's like, yeah,
you didn't have that back
then. We could
go
back now and look, but you got to remember, kids who are 8 years old now have social media, and they're looking at everything, and they're just like, oh.
But they could go on YouTube and see the first Rutherford jump.
I remember 1996 when Bahamas won the silver medal in the 4x100 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Shout out Atlanta, you know, it's pretty.
Bring it back to the 80s.
Pretty good. But I remember I was in Eleuthera, and at the time, my mom's boyfriend, Mike, came running in and said, did you hear that the Bahamas won? And I'm looking around like, ain't no TV in here, ain't no radio in here. And he has a newspaper in his hand.
Wow.
Yeah, a newspaper in his hand. And it's just like, oh, we won a medal. Like, that's how, I'll never forget, that's how I remember. I remember staying up and watching the Sydney, on NBC, the Sydney games, because that's old enough to be like, oh, let me see what's going on. This is a moment everyone's talking about. And what really did bug me the most, like, all these women went to school in the USA. It's like, who cares? They're going to beat y'all anyways.
They did, though.
I know. But that's not the reason why they were great. They were great because they were Bahamian.
No, that's not the reason they were.
After 2000, just everything became instant. You had the internet. So I remember the 2004 Olympics in Athens when your boy dove across the line to Shawnee before Shawnee for Chris Brown's medal. I remember because I couldn't get it on TV. I was in college my first year or whatever it was.
He was busy.
Yeah. I'm online. So it must have been like
freshman year. Yeah, busy, bro.
It must have been like 2008, whatever year it was. And I'm looking at the stats and it's not updating because, you know, at that point they have to do the photo finish, blah, blah, blah. And I look and I say, man, that sucks. Like, but it was instant information. You knew exactly what was going on right there.
So in the interest of we're talking about Bahamian athletes, I want to use that for us to get into this next part of the conversation. The evolution of fandom, right? And of course, these athletes compete on the international stage. And I feel like you two are polar opposites in this, so I can get both of your opposing takes on this. So we mentioned earlier how when Cardo would say, if the Yankees and Mets are playing, yeah, I want Jazz to go 4-for-4, but I want my team to win. Right. My team is very important.
This is prime example.
In terms of your fandom. Bahamian to hit 7 home runs, and I don't care what the result is. I just want the Bahamian to be amazing.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's two different parts of your fandom.
I want them to win, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. You want them to win.
Let's put it this way.
That's secondary.
I would say this. The only time I will actively pull against a Bahamian, and it's never going to happen, is if the Dolphins win the Super Bowl against a Bahamian quarterback. The only time I would actually pull against a Bahamian.
When we can get a Bahamian quarterback?
That's what I'm saying. It's never going to happen.
Brody Knowles.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying. The Dolphins, Super Bowl. That's the only time I say, you know what? I ain't care about the Bahamian bloodline. I need the Dolphins to win. Because that's too much pain and suffering I've had my whole life.
So I want to go to Cardo first with this one. How do the teams matter so much? Is it nostalgia? Is it childhood? The teams for you matter a whole
lot. Parades.
Not just parades, but I'll hit the nail right on the head. Nostalgia, but like we come up, we see these things. Like I always tell people, like I like comic books, But to see an athlete, to see somebody, the blood, sweat, and tears go behind their craft, you realize, like, but these dudes putting their all in, you fall in love with that narrative. You fall in love with those images of these dudes trying, and failing, and succeeding. Like, that becomes, like, a big part of Kobe. I remember before I understood basketball, like, Kobe, his first two seasons.
They all love the story.
No, like, I kid you not. My daddy always used to, we grew up watching Lakers because of my old man. He would tell us these stories about how good the Lakers is, and when we get Kobe and Shaq, his whole point was, or he, I wouldn't say he disliked Kobe, but he saw Kobe as like a little child that like ruining the projection. We just get Shaq.
Oh, every generation does this with the young
kids. Right, so it was on some, but like, what you hating to do for? Because, you know, Kobe had the swag and stuff. He won the dunk contest, and I'm like,
I'll say this.
How interesting. How interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
Winning the dunk contest is important, though.
That's what got...
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
he did J.R. Ryder's dunk.
It doesn't matter.
It's still important.
It's
the only thing that matters.
Nah, at that time, the old dudes who I watched at dunk contest around was like, he ain't nothing. And it's like, that's the greatest thing I ever seen in my life. What are you talking about? So it was like,
I just saw J.R. Ryder do the same dunk 2 years before.
Never mind. I could care less.
At that moment,
it was, bro, this dude great. It's the same thing.
But you got to remember, too, they're now thinking of the Jordan and Kobe doing the same thing Jordan did.
It's the same
thing. And LeBron never did it, so LeBron's never going to be at that level because he never was in the dunk competition.
We ain't even going there. I want you to
agree. It's the same thing with my love for the Patriots.
Right.
I saw that situation.
I could have been a Patriots fan, Cardo.
Bro, like, to watch Tom Brady draft pick Drew Bledsoe, we thought we had something special. We went to the Super Bowl in 96. I only knew about that. Like, hearing people Desmond talk about Howard. It and see it. So I didn't know. My first soiree into Drew Bledsoe getting replaced, getting whatever he get blown
Wait,
up on the sideline.
Wait, what a time.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what y'all stressing for? Like, dude, Marino. Look confident.
So for me, I would say, so my fandom story started the same way that yours did. I think this job... And the business of sports kind of ruined.
I think it's more the business that ruined. I don't really
The job is too. So I'll explain what I mean by that and what happened, right? So when I started to follow Bahamian athletes more closely, and like you said, seeing their stories from the beginning for the ground up, there's no way I can root for somebody else more than I root for them.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by the job. I guess ruin is a bad word. But following them, the individual stories meant more to me than the franchises. Like, knowing Jazz's story, wherever he goes, I am going to root for that. It's not about the Marlins. It's not about the Yankees. Knowing DA's story, wherever he goes, I'm rooting for that.
Right.
Could care less about Phoenix, Portland, the Lakers, Clay's
story,
any of that everything. Stuff. So, like, repeat that with all of them. And that's what I mean by... doing this and seeing it from the ground
there,
my fandom kind of became more about that than it is about the teams.
I will add on. So in my take, it's I'm there with them. I watch them practice a lot.
Right.
Like, I'm in there, watch them, seeing them put the work in. I help them when I can with practice, just rebounding ball, doing something I could do, you know?
Right.
So I feel like I'm invested to a point where it's like I see the work they put in. I've been with them. I've hung out with them. Like, I only want them to be successful.
Right.
I would never be like, oh, you only scored 2 points. It's like, oh, okay, you got one bad game.
That's why I always just tell people, like, the players pulled me in, but the team itself is what has sustained me. So going back to the Tom Brady thing, I had this weird situation when he went to Tampa, where it's like, clearly this is still my favorite player. But my love for the Patriots surpassed that more because all of the things that came with being a Patriot fan, the cheating allegations, you felt more like you had to defend something, and then you fall in love with this organization.
That's how I got to defend LeBron.
I get that. All I'm saying is at that moment, LeBron, it was the first time I had to come to that crossroads where you question, hey, well, who you could be more loyal to, the jersey or the name on the back of the jersey? And for the first time, I had to make that decision. Like, bro, the Patriots mean the world to me. Tom Brady is special, but the Patriots, that's like that my organization.
And the great thing is we pledge our allegiance to the flag.
Fleshman and Lamar Jackson.
When it comes to the Lakers.
Close enough to Miami.
When it comes to the Lakers, the Patriots, the Mets, those are my organizations. So, I will live and breathe with them.
So for me, my basketball story actually started exactly like yours. My mom was the big Laker fan. So she would sit down and she would sit me down would say, Watch this man, these amazing things. I wish he was telling me about the other stuff he was doing. I was like, Magic is a wild boy. But But like in watching Noah's game, that's yeah. how I found the Blazers, because I was like, who is this balding man who dribbles with his head down and is dunking on everyone? That dude is the one I want to become a fan of. So it was Clyde Drexler, and then you end up becoming a Blazer fan for no apparent reason, right? I follow that for as long as I could. You could have been a Lakers fan. Yeah, I was supposed to be. But I followed that for as long as I could, and then Buddy came around. Yeah. And it was like, I'm more interested in whatever Buddy's doing.
I feel like you were more interested with Clay.
Yeah, that's kind of where it started. Remember when
on the fence?
Remember when the Pelicans swept the Blazers, and I was like, "All right, that's it. Now I just could just root for Buddy completely." But that, yeah, and that's when the story started to shift. Not saying either one is right or wrong, right. By the way, it's just two different perceptions of it. And I think that a lot of the times I see Bahamian fans kind of struggling with it.
I don't know what the struggle is.
Yeah, because I realized though, no, John, there's a struggle because there is. They don't love the sport. They love the conversation. That's how I separate fans now. If you could tell me verbatimly, if I say to you 2010 Lakers or 2011 Lakers, and before you remember the championship, you remember a certain play from a certain game. You love the sport. Like, that's what matters to you. You know how important the triangle is for Kobe to come off. Like, you love it. You love the sport.
No, he wasn't running no triangle. Wait,
hey. All I know is you see
how he wasn't running no triangle.
You Kobe running triangle?
His triangle was give me the ball and get out of the way.
No, it was to get me on that wing.
Point, move.
Yes. Y'all, this is LeBron stats.
Well, I know that. What's that? Isosceles triangle.
That's him pointing to run to the corners.
Ain't no equilateral. They all killed. That's, come around here.
That's what the triangle is. But no, I get it. It's just that I've seen...
You see what these players getting paid now?
I've seen a lot of that particular conversation around recently, and it just had me thinking, you know, like, which one me is more? And sometimes it comes about with LeBron, but I saw a lot of it with DA going to the Lakers, and it had me questioning some things that I was seeing and some things that I was hearing, because I was like, well, which one means more to y'all? Like, the Lakers success or DeAndre Ayton's success? Because for me... It's a no-brainer.
You know what I feel like a lot of Laker fans are? Well, us fans. You know,
yeah, because we there now. We there now, John. They've been having to deal with us ever since LeBron signed. So they got to deal with us a little longer.
Before the DA thing, I just feel like sometimes some of these fan bases try to build in excuses of if something fails, see, wait, I tell you that was good. It's like, no, it don't work like that. Stop building in these excuses.
He's talking about LeBron.
No comment.
This season. Yeah, no comment. So that's the perfect way to end it. That is it for this episode of The Accredited. When we come back next week, we'll be talking about Jazz winning the Home Run Derby.
And Sebastian MVP.
Don't forget, Monday, we got a big watch party planned. Bring out the family. It's going to be a fun time.
Ken Wires will be there.
We're going to be there.